see it.
This would ordinarily be Christmas, a day of festivity and good cheer. Today, it is just December 25, a never to be forgotten day of mourning.
On December the 21st, 1951, I was getting ready to go to work. We worked on the second shift. My name is Jack Summers, and I was in the mine at Orient number 2 on the night of the explosion. Our boss said that we was going to have a short shift. He'd give us light work to do that night.
My name is Ella Sweet, and my husband died in the mine explosion in 1951. It was the last shift before Christmas, and he and his buddy met out there getting ready to go down, and he said, Rink, let's go get your wife and come over to my house and let's do something tonight instead of working. And they met Rink's brother that was coming off the day shift, and he said, you boys better go down and get this last shift because it'll make a big Christmas pay.
We went in the mine, and it come dinner time. It was 20 minutes to late. We was under a big railroad track right over our head, and it come like a big train. Passing over, made the awfulest noise in the world. And all the power lights and power went off.
My name is L. Goble Patton. I was West Frankfort City School Superintendent at the time of the mine explosion. The night of a basketball game, we were in the gymnasium, and someone came in and asked me as superintendent of schools if I would go down to the Central Junior High School gymnasium and open it for a morgue.
And the PA announcer called for doctors because of an accident at the mine. Well, news spread like wildfire throughout the gymnasium, and then, of course, everybody rushed home or up to the mine itself.
My uncle, my mom's brother, was at a basketball game, and they come in and announced that there had been an explosion at number 2 Orient. He came to our house and said, there's been an explosion. And my mom immediately says, George is dead. That was my father. My name is Sharon Raymond, and my father was a trip rider.
My buddy said, I've got to go call somebody. Something's happened. So he runs to the phone, and he called on top, and he said, something's happened in here. They've been the office and noise and wind come through here, and now we smell smoke and stuff. And he said, you guys start out. There's been some kind of explosion or something on inside.
My name is Irv Kopey. I was working at WFRX. I just come home from work. We were a daytime station, had to sign off the air at 4:15. I just gotten home, been home for a little while. And the phone rang. My boss said, please come back. There's been an accident of some kind at the mine, and I think it's bad.
Name's Charles McDaniel. My dad, Vern McDaniel, worked at number 2 mine. I was about 8.5 years old, and we'd been in bed, you know, and then didn't come home. Mom got up wondering where he was and woke me up, so we were sitting there really waiting. He'd worked day shift that day and worked over a little while and was just getting off work. Took his shower and got in the car and getting ready to go home when they blew the sirens. And kept on blowing them. He knew something was wrong, so he went back.
I didn't hear it for quite a while. Somebody called out to my neighbor, and it was her husband, and she came down and she said, have you heard? They've had an explosion at the mine. And I said, no. And I never thought about it being that much of a catastrophe, you know. I just thought there'd be a few of them hurt, maybe, or they didn't say how bad it was.
All the families, the wives and the sweethearts and the sons and daughters of the men who were down below on the second shift, they knew by this time that something, it was more than just an accident, it had to be something very serious. And it was. Then the terrible word explosion just echoed all throughout the town.
It happened an hour ago, way down in this tunnel of coal. The gas caught fire from somebody's lamp, and the miners are choking in smoke.
We went out to the coal mine and waited around a long time, but then they took me home later, and I didn't go anymore. I could see there wasn't no point in me going to things like that.
And, of course, everyone rushed out to the mine and waited. They waited and waited. That was so terrible, and so many brought out that were already dead.
For 3 days, we didn't know if he was killed in it or, you know, what was going on, really. And we started getting news, a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
For a while, they'd say they thought everybody was okay, and they'd get your hopes up, and then they'd say no, they didn't think anybody was alive. And I got to where I just wouldn't listen to it. I just turned it off. You just had to sit and wait.
The radio station was the central point for all the news that was dispensed. We had announcers coming from all the networks, from St. Louis and Chicago, from all the radio stations. And we had to make some horrific announcements. We called for funeral directors, please come and help us. We need your help. Come to the central gym where we've set up a temporary morgue. Help us identify the bodies as they are brought up. We need bags for the bodies.
We got the top, and then we come on down to the gymnasium where they was bringing their bodies, and they were bringing them out in bags, and they had a place, they called it, it was a junior high gym, and all the bodies were brought there, and they had us to stop, and a couple guys that couldn't tell who they was, and one of them asked me, did I know this guy? And I said, yeah, I'd just seen the first part of the shift, and I knew him, but he was burnt so bad, he was really burnt hard.
That was about the only place where they could have had enough space, because there were so many of the bodies and all, but they would bring them in and cover them. They'd let a few in at a time to identify anyone that they could identify. They had them lined up and just in rows on the gym floor, covered up, and it was terrible.
Of course, they didn't get him out for quite some time. I think my husband wasn't found for about 2 days anyway.
Thank you.
I was on the coroner's jury, so I was there 72 hours without leaving. And the gym floor was full of victims. Some were mangled, a lot of them were burned. The odor was terrific. I remember that Mr. Harris, who was one of the bosses, he bled on the gym floor, and we never did get that out of the floor. It just, we sanded it several times, but we just never did get it out.
He would just talk about how terrible it was and the anguish that the families were going through. He was just almost in tears when he'd come home from and all, but he'd be home and try to sleep a while, then he'd go back. It tore him up pretty much.
They got very little sleep. Every once in a while, they'd come out and lay down for maybe an hour, then they'd get geared up again and go back down. You know, no, they stayed out there the whole time. It was a good 3 days before he finally come home, but he tore up so bad you couldn't really get him to talk about it, you know, much or nothing else for a long time. But you could tell, you know, he was really, really upset, and he was sick and tired, you know. He was like a zombie for about 3 months after. He wouldn't eat, talk, lost a bunch of weight.
It was a horrifying experience, and very few families in town were not connected one way or another, relative or neighbor or friend, you know, and it was a nightmare for West Frankfort.
The only thing that identified my father's body was that he had on a ring that my mother had bought him. It was a black onyx ring with a diamond and his initial D on it. We never went back to the house that we lived in. Our life was never the same. My mother lived to be 82 years old, but she never recovered.
Goodbye to Dickie and honey. Goodbye to the wife that I love. A lot of these men not coming home tonight when the work whistle blows. Dear sisters and brothers, goodbye. Dear mother and father, goodbye.
Two little kids, one was 5, one was 2. It's the worst Christmas. I hope I never see another one like it. We buried him on Christmas Eve, then had to get up and have Santa Claus on Christmas Day because little kids that age don't understand anything. It ruined Christmas for you forever. You're numb. I don't remember it a lot because I kind of shut it out.
My mother wanted the funeral the day after Christmas. She didn't want that to be, you know, on Christmas Day. We never had a Christmas tree, or we never celebrated Christmas again.
Everyone had a very sad holiday that year. I think it affected everyone in West Frankfort.
Funeral after funeral after funeral in the whole area, all the little towns around here. Every day there was more and more, you know. The radio just kept playing the Christmas songs. Just kind of sad. It was like funeral dirges or something all day long. You'd hear that.
The national radios, the local radios were full of announcements. Could you imagine that many obituaries being reported at one time? It was a sad time for West Frankfort. This was probably the greatest tragedy this town ever had.
I am authorized to speak for the United Mine Workers of America.
Mr. Morford, please speak just a little louder.
The explosion in Orient 2 mine on the 21st of December startled and shocked the peoples of the civilized world. I only hope that it results in the American people and the United States Congress being sufficiently impressed the necessity of debating this loss of manpower in our minds.
I can hear the moans and groans, more than 100 good men just work and fight and try to see that this never happens again. Dear sisters and brothers, goodbye. Dear mother and father, goodbye.
Thank you.